consider how a faithful Muslim must go to a battlefield with a sword, you know, carrying a heavy sword at old age, 90, 91, 92 years old, to defend the right of Imam Ali alayhi salam. His body was taken into Raqqa in today's Syria, and he is buried over there. May Allah bless the soul of Ammar ibn Yasir, one of the most prominent Sahabi of Prophet Muhammad and Imam Ali alayhi salam. Thank you, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Nawi, for your nice elaboration regarding the life of Ammar ibn Yasir. And thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amal.
Los grandes medios, como se autodenominan, de comunicación.
The major media of communication, as they call themselves, or rather the hegemonic media in the hands of the imperialist and Zionist companies, normally presume to be objective. They also presume to be neutral.
Presumen también de ser neutrales. Sin embargo, hoy,
however, today, in the face of the massacre and genocide that is occurring in Gaza, they demonstrate their partial nature and the service of big imperialist capital and Zionism at the international level.
Y del sionismo a nivel internacional. Ellos no hablan, por ejemplo, de la cantidad.
They do not talk, for example, about the number of journalists murdered.
Gazadí. Bueno.
Well, the mainstream media ignore that because it is not important. But if a journalist had been murdered by the Palestinians, by the Palestinian resistance, they would scream in such a way that we would get deaf. But 63 or more is no longer valid.
De tal manera que no dejarían sordo. Pero los 63 o más ya no valen.
The more than 23,000 Gazans killed and almost 60,000 injured and all those missing under the rubble are not worth anything.
Y todos los desaparecidos bajo los escombros. Esas cifras no aparecen en ningún medio.
These figures do not appear in any media, but the lie of October 7th did appear when they spoke of 40 babies beheaded by the Palestinian resistance, something that never happened. Even some media outlets on their own, beyond the origin of the lie that comes from the Israeli media, added and talked about 100 and some very enthusiastic ones went so far as to talk about 200 murdered babies or infants.
Bebés o guaguas asesinadas. Así actúa los medios.
This is how the media, the big media, act. They do not name the casualties of the occupying army of the Zionist entity, which are numerous. They never mention it. It seems that they are immortal. No one is injured. No one dies. Nor do they talk, for example, about those who have been captured by the Gazan militiamen. No. They do not talk about their casualties. Nor do they name their destroyed weapons, including tanks. Nor do they say anything about the recovery of weapons that the Gazan resistance constantly makes. That does not exist. Nor do they exist for them, for example, the resistance that is taking place throughout the area, the U.S. military bases that have been bombed in Syria by resistance in Iraq, in Lebanon, and beware.
La actitud valiente, ejemplar que tiene el Yemen.
Something very important, the brave, exemplary attitude that Yemen, the Yemeni army, has and that today does not allow ships bound for Israel to pass from the waters of the Red Sea. Some ships have been captured, others have been bombed. That is, the truth or the news to the extent that it serves me. Then they tell us that it is a conflict, as they call it, between Hamas and Israel, and that Israel is defending itself against Hamas, which is supposedly a terrorist entity.
Sería una entidad terrorista, pero bombardean a la población palestina.
However, they bomb the Palestinian population, and not only in Gaza, but also in the West Bank. That is the truth. Even in Al-Quds, Jerusalem itself. Yes, some residents who are Palestinians have also been detained and beaten in recent days. Well, the mainstream press doesn't talk about that data. We're facing falsehood and lies at all levels. We must denounce that. This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Soy Eduardo Artes. Hoy estamos con la compañera Jadil.
Today we're with Jaldia Abu Bakra, a Palestinian activist born in Gaza and the founder of the Palestinian Alternative Revolutionary Path movement, Masar Badil. In addition, the founder and member of the anti-colonial movement, Al-Karama. Jaldia, welcome to Black and White.
Hello, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to be with you today.
Jaldia, there is no doubt that the Western hegemonic media follow certain patterns, which are ideological, economic, and political. We wanted to talk a little deeper about this topic. What do you see as the basis of this policy?
Well, hegemonic media have always been subservient to or belong to big capital. These media company or part of imperialist colonialism all over the world. For this reason, they implement what is announced to them by the economic hegemony of the world. And the United States of America and the Zionist regime of Israel are all part of that hegemony. And that's why we see that all the time, and not just now and since October the 7th, the big hegemonic media provide information about the issue of Palestine in a way that serves the Zionist propaganda apparatus and their goals. Working against the issue of Palestine and the struggle of the Palestinian people is done with the aim of justifying the crimes of the Israeli colonizers against the nation of Palestine, as well as the crimes of all oppressive regimes around the world. We're always witness to the role these media play in distorting public opinion with the aim of preventing the collective movement of people that demand justice and human rights. This is not limited to the issue of Palestine, but in all parts of the world, especially in Palestine, especially since October the 7th and the height of the Palestinian resistance. We saw before our eyes the brutality of Israeli bombings on one hand and the false information and biased news published by these media on the other, narratives that make the hair stand on end. All their effort is to justify an unjustifiable issue, the genocide we're witnessing. No one is safe from this genocide against the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip. The hegemonic media have the audacity to serve this fascist ideology and somehow give a green light to continue the killings of the innocent people in the Gaza Strip.
Carta verde o como luz verde para seguir masacrando a la población en la franja de Gaza.
Así es, Jaldia. Jaldia.
Yes, that's right, Jaldia. With regard to your experiences, connections, and revolutionary, democratic, and civil activities that you have, what is the role of popular entities to deal with this big campaign, or what role should they play? This campaign is very big because they have the amazing mainstream media at their proposal. This indicates the necessity to fight on the front of informing and raising awareness about the interests of the people, especially the interests of the Palestine nation.
Por supuesto, tenemos los movimientos populares.
Of course. As popular entities, we have a very important role. We must note that as human rights activists and defenders, we're deprived of financial resources and support. We're from the working class. We are people who do our activities in our spare time. But what we do to defend human rights is necessary. Not only about the rights of the Palestinian nation, but about the rights of all the oppressed nations. We publish the truth and correct information, and our work is to raise awareness because when you have the opportunity to talk and discuss with people, you will immediately see that what we say means something and it leaves an impact, and the values we defend are reasonable. We help open people's eyes. We attempt to expose the lies that are being fed to them by the mainstream media and fake news. Most people become united when someone speaks to them and shows them the truth. And the greatest need today is, in fact, for more effort to create gatherings, because there are many people who know that the nation of Palestine is already under injustice, and they already know that the problem, the struggle of the nation of Palestine, is for justice. They are aware that the issue is defending the truth and the rights of the Palestinian nation for freedom and the right to self-determination. But nothing is done about it. Many people have a humanitarian approach to the issue of Palestine. They're a nation that endures suffering. But we should know that this nation is not suffering from natural disasters. In Palestine, there's been neither an earthquake nor a flood. In Palestine, there's a colonial project in which genocide and the racial cleansing against the nation of Palestine has been started from the beginning. The goal is to change the narrative and the authentic Palestinian population and replace it with a foreign population. In this case, the West will have a foothold and a military base that will be used to control and create instability and dominate the entire region known as West Asia.
Controlar, desestabilizar y controlar toda la región de la zona llamada.
Yes, that's right. We will take a break and continue immediately.
Estamos con Jaldía Abubakra.
We are with Jaldía Abubakra on Black and White. Jaldía, explain to our viewers a little about the slogan that we see everywhere, from the river to the sea. What does this mean for Palestinians? And how can the people who watch this program in Western or Spanish-speaking countries understand this slogan?
¿Dónde llega este programa?
Bueno, las fronteras naturales de Palestina.
Well, the natural borders of Palestine, the historical land of Palestine, always and throughout its life are on one side with the Jordan River, which is the border with the country of Jordan, and on the other side with the Mediterranean Sea. That's why when we talk about the liberation of Palestine, we emphasize that we mean the freedom of historical Palestine. From the river to the sea. Palestine must be free. This land must be cleansed of the existence of Zionism. When we say free from Zionism and we say that the Zionist project, that is, the regime of Israel, must end, this regime is fake. It's an oppressive regime. And we want a free and democratic Palestine with diversity and inclusive participation. This means that we Palestinians have never been against the Jewish people. There's never been a difference between Palestinians based on religion or skin color, ethnicity, and gender. This is the Palestine that we want to regain, a free Palestine which extends from the river to the sea with inclusive and diverse participation, a Palestine which embodies the same slogan from the river to the sea that we say from Rosh HaNikra Grottos, which is the border with Lebanon, to Rafah and Al-Rarash,
which is the southern border. This is Palestine. But while saying from the river to the sea is beautiful, is not enough. This is the historical land of Palestine, which is against the two-state solution, a so-called solution which means to harm this nation. The United Nations voted on the partition resolution of Palestine, Resolution 181, in which the opinion of the original nation of Palestine was never sought, and more than half of the land of Palestine was granted to a foreign population. At the time in 1947, the number of the Israelis did not even reach 30% of the Palestinian population. And after that, we had the Madrid Conference and the Oslo Agreements, which still emphasized the division of Palestine and the creation of two states. We firmly announce that the existence of two governments in this land is not practical. What we demand as Palestinian men and women and all supporters of Palestine is a free Palestine from the river to the sea. And what we mean by the slogan, from the river to the sea, victory is with Palestine, attributes to the same issue.
Del río al mar, Palestina vencerá.
Eso es, desde el río hasta el mar, Palestina vencerá.
Yes, from the river to the sea, victory is with Palestine. It is very important that you say that the issue is not a religious issue. The issue is not the issue of the Jews, because the biased press and the hegemonic media usually describe the struggle against Zionism as anti-Jewish activities, while the truth is that this has nothing to do with the followers of Judaism. The main issue that we see in all demonstrations is opposition to the Zionist regime, which has occupied a land that does not belong to it. And the inhabitants of that land are Palestinians who can be Catholic, Muslim, Jewish, non-religious, Buddhist, and anything else. It is a significant point that does not receive enough attention on the hegemonic media.
Que son palestinos independientemente que sean católico, islámico, ateos,
judíos,
en fin, no es el tema. Correcto.
Así es.
Es muy importante eso porque la prensa trabaja mucho eso.
The
international right wing and fascism in Europe were movements that persecuted Jews and killed them and did not want Jews to exist. In Palestine and in the Arab Islamic world, we have never witnessed segregation, persecution, and assaults on Jews. The fact is that I live here in Spain. The Catholic kings expelled the Jews from Spain, the Spanish Jews, and they took refuge in Islamic countries. Jews used to have a good life in Spain when Islam ruled here. They were growing and they were equal to other citizens. But unfortunately, Europe, instead of compensating for the issue of persecution and the killing of Jews, instead of restoring their rights and considering them as men and women citizens of their native countries, such as Germany, Ukraine, Lithuania, Austria, and everywhere else, what they did was to displace them and force them to colonize Palestine. For this reason, the problem has never been religious, and many Jews whom the Zionist regime claims to represent today deny their affiliation with the Zionist camp, oppose the Zionist project, and fight alongside the Palestinians to end this project, a project that confiscates their voices and opinions and commits crimes in their name. Therefore, these two have nothing to do with each other. Zionism is a political and colonial project that is very similar to the Nazi project, a racist and superior project that wants to colonize Palestine. It serves the interest of the imperialist West to continue to usurp and steal the resources of the West Asia region. It destabilizes and prevents the normal and natural development of the countries of this region so that it can maintain its domination over them indefinitely.
De estos países para seguir dominándolos todo el tiempo.
Jaldía, la prensa occidental y hegemónica presenta.
Jaldía, the Western and hegemonic media present the current situation as a dream between the Israeli regime and Hamas. They do not say anything about the nation of Palestine, nor about the various organizations that are there. How do you see the participation of various organizations and the parade of resistance?
Con su variedad de organizaciones y expresiones de resistencia.
Bueno, el pueblo palestino siempre ha sido un pueblo politizado, siempre ha participado.
Well, the nation of Palestine has always been a political nation. It's always been involved in politics. There's always been a diversity of political ideologies in Palestine. The Arab revolt in Palestine in 1936 was a great revolution in which the people of Palestine fought against the beginning of the Zionist project, against the entry of the Zionists, and the privileges that the British government gave them, and against the British rule in the land of Palestine. At that time, Hamas did not exist. In the 1987 Intifada, when all the people of Palestine poured to the streets with stone weapons to fight tanks, Hamas did not exist at that time. And today, there are various groups that participate in the resistance of Palestine. Of course, Hamas is one of them. And we must remember that Hamas won the last elections held in the occupied territories in 2006. And it is normal to have an Islamic government or party in a Muslim-majority country. There are also Christians who participate in Hamas. And these media hate to mention this, or they deliberately hide the fact that there is a Christian population in Palestine because they want there to be no sympathy from the mostly Christian West with Palestine. And so it's natural for this group to exist. The point is, this hegemonic media have been working hard to promote Islamophobia in the West for years. America, for its own people, has always needed an enemy to justify the crimes it commits in a different part of the world. And after the fall of communism and the Soviet Union, it started to present Muslims as enemies and created terrorist groups, which it fully supports as Islamic groups. For example, Daesh was created by the Americans. Hillary Clinton said this in her book, and they've admitted it. And for those who want to understand, to see that Daesh has nothing to do with Hamas, we must note that this terrorist group has never attacked Israel. This does not make sense.
This is a good sign. Yeah, Daesh has never attacked Israel.
Daesh has never attacked Israel, and quite the opposite. During the time when they were active in Syria and killing people in Syria, when Daesh members were injured, Israel took them to their hospitals for treatment. And there are many documents that support this claim that there is a relationship between Israel and Daesh.
Yes, this is documented.
So it's not true that only Hamas is confronting Israel. Hamas is one of the groups fighting Israel.
Es muy extraño que la prensa occidental, por ejemplo,
it is very strange that the Western media do not cover the bombing of Christian hospitals in Gaza, as well as the bombing of Christian churches, and recently two Palestinian Catholic Christians who were killed.
Dos palestinos cristianos católicos,
two women actually.
¿Cómo se llama? Católica.
Yeah, in a Catholic church where they all had taken refuge. This is a disaster. But the West, which claims to be Christian, cannot even take a look at those who were killed. How is this media under such control? And how are they so much at the service of giant corporations and basically American imperialism and the Zionist regime? There is 1 minute left, so please, as a farewell, I would like you to speak to the Spanish-speaking nations.
Hacia el pueblo, hacia los pueblos de habla hispana.
Muy bien, pues quiero...
Very well. I want to send my greetings to all the people of Abya Yala and all the people who defend the rights of the nation of Palestine, as well as all the people who fight for justice and equality. I want to thank all for the support you had in the streets around the world in Abya Yala and on other continents for the right of resistance of the nation of Palestine. The resistance of the Palestinian nation should not be criminalized. It's a legitimate fight as well as a legal one. So I'm just saying, let's get on with it. This support and solidarity should not only be limited to the time when the nation of Palestine is being killed and bombarded, but the nation of Palestine must be defended every day until the freedom of Palestine is realized from the river to the sea.
Así es, Geraldia.
That's right, Geraldia. Thank you very much. The solidarity image of the pro-Palestinian demonstrations should be strengthened for Palestine and together with the Palestinians. This is Black and White. See you later.
النقي means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdi' al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaik.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. I'm your host Mahdi. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was one of the pure fountainheads of knowledge and wisdom. He was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the son of the 9th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. And Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam himself was the 10th divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. The ulama and the religious scholars and the fuqaha, the Islamic jurisprudence of the Shia, asked Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam about the different branches of knowledge while he was yet a very young child. And despite his young age, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam answered all of these great religious scholars and these great religious jurisprudents with the answers of an expert. It was these very answers of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam which made the Shia scholars and Shia jurisprudents and the other leaders of the Shia to believe in the imama of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Jamiatul Kabira by Imam Hadi alayhi salam, along with its English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu ala a'immatil huda wa masabihit tuja wa a'lamit tuqa wa dawin nuha.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thought, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call in the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger, May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala al-a'immat al-du'at.
Peace be upon the imams, the leaders, the guides, the chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, His select, His party, the case of His knowledge, His argument, His path, His light, His proof. Allah's mercy and blessings to be upon them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, the 10th divinely appointed Imam. We find this conversation that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam has with an individual by the name of al-Fatah bin Yazid al-Jirjani. And so most probably Jirjani is this area which is called Gurgan in present-day Islamic Republic of Iran. At that time, it was also known as Jirjan. So in this conversation that Imam al-Hadi has with al-Fatah bin Yazid, they start to talk about the impossibility of describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's interesting that we find that a lot of the people from that area, the area in general, so if Imam Hadi alayhi salam is either in Medina from in the beginning of his life, or he is in Samarra towards the end of his life, both Medina and Samarra are really far from this area of Jirjan, which is present-day Islamic Republic of Iran in the northern areas bordering or at least close to the Caspian Sea. And so still people went to great lengths to go and speak with these immaculate and infallible imams. So they started to discuss this idea about the impossibility of describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this conversation, Imam Hadi alayhi salam says that the Creator is not described except with that which He Himself has described Himself with. So again, just to kind of explain that, because it might have been a little bit confusing, you know, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the Creator, this is the first thing that Imam al-Hadi brings up. So because He is the Creator, that means that everything else is the created. And if everything else is the created, then this is something that was created by the Almighty Allah. Many a times, and this is what I think is trying to be explained here, is that the created cannot fully comprehend the Creator. If we give it a very simple and a very, modern practical example, is like a computer. A human being has created a computer. Can a computer really, you know, go back and fully comprehend the depth and the profundity of the human being? It can't. Right? And in the same sense here, we find that how can we as created beings of the Almighty Allah fully comprehend? And I'm talking about fully. Of course, glimpses is a different thing, but fully comprehend the being and the entity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is impossible. And so how do we then describe or get to know or be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, it is via the description that Allah has given of Himself. That is the best way of being able to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the description that He Himself has put forth about Himself. This is the description of Allah in the Holy Quran, and in the words of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, and in the words of the infallible and immaculate Imams, and of course, in our case, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Unfortunately, throughout the eras, we find that the Muslims tried to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon their own personal thinking and their own personal arguments, and it really cast astray and misled many countless Muslims over the centuries. And so this idea of returning towards the Quran and the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, and the infallible Imams, in order to be able to truly have a description of the Almighty Allah that he himself has provided us with. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Aliyun hubbuhu junna, qasimun nari wal jannah, wasiyul Mustafa haqqan, imamun nasi wal jinnah.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide to managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 53rd letter that Imam Ali alayhi salam wrote to Malik Ashtar in Nahjul Balagha, where he gives certain guidances and guidelines to him with regards to the issue of governance. And one of the key areas that he focuses on is the issue of human resources and how to deal with people that are working under you and how to recruit members into the governing institute. And in the previous session, we mentioned that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَلَا تُوَلِّهِمْ مُحَابَاتًا, that do not choose them, do not give them authority and do not make them part of your system. Muhabatan, that means out of kindness and out of favorism, out of some kind of reciprocation, you know. It shouldn't be like that, because maybe he's my family member or he's related, he's my friend's son. These shouldn't be the reasons.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali al-Islam then says, وَلَا تُوَلِّهِمْ مُحَابَةً وَأَثَرَةً. And do not choose them, do not give them authority, أَثَرَةً, out of your own opinion, just based on your own whim or your own opinion and what you think. You see, when it's something of your own, a private matter of yours, you can just choose anyone because it belongs to you. Even then, you're supposed to follow the right principles. They not just choose anyone, you know, whimsically. But when it comes to organizations in the government, in the society, then you have to be even more careful. So here Imam Ali alayhi salam, for example, says that do not choose them out of your own opinions. For example, in a ministry, you go and you choose someone, let's say as a minister or as a part of the body that is working under the minister of a cabinet, let's say a cabinet minister. And then the minister is asked, why did you choose this person? He says, well, it was my idea and based on my own opinion. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, no, you are not allowed to do that. If you want to choose someone into authority, then you cannot just use your opinion. Let's say you're not favoring or it's not out of reciprocation or out of kindness. It's just out of your opinion. You feel this guy is good. But why do you feel that this person is good? Why do you feel so? There has to be a reason. There has to be written criteria. And as such, what this particular statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam tells us is that for each department and for each work that you have, each job description that you have, there should be clearly written down criteria that a person that wants to work in this department is supposed to have 1, 2, 3 characteristics. And if he falls into these characteristics, then only he will be allowed to work. And the way you recruit them also has to be really, careful. Let's say there are 5 or 6 people who fit the criteria. Then how do you choose between these 5 to 6 people? Do you choose based on your own whim? That you feel, okay, this guy, for example, this person, he's good because he's my relative, or maybe because I feel, he's physically good looking, or for example, any other reasons like that. So you should see exactly what those reasons are, and it should be based on true principles. Then and only then can you take a decision in that department. As you saw, that this is a bit strict and it's a bit, it requires a lot of in-depth research.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Now, when it comes to ask to invite people and to recruit people into your system, when you're governing, especially when it comes to governing areas of that have social repercussions, I mean, that are related to the society, you cannot just use your own opinions and your own whims and your own feelings as the criteria for people to work with you. Now you might feel, oh no, this is so bad. Like as a manager, I have to go through so much difficulty. Why not just let me be free and do what I want? The answer is that this system is for you as a manager to be able to deliver. Because you think that just by using your whims and your desires and your feelings and everything, you can choose whoever you want, you know, out of your family and everyone, out of kindness. And then you feel that, you know, really you will be able to do something good for the society. No, you will not be able to. So all these rules and regulations are for you as a manager to be able to deliver what you're supposed to do. Because at the end of your 5-year term, at the end of your 4-year term, at the end of your 3-year term, you will be questioned. That what did you do in these 5 years? What did you do in these 2-3 years? What did you do in this 1 year? Why did this fulan person, this XYZ person in your company or in your government do this and that? Why were they not able to deliver? Why was he forced to resign? Why were you forced to change so many of your people? All these questions will come. So why not take the trouble in the very beginning and be tough in the way you recruit, have proper criteria, have a nice system, and then be able to work in a way that will create good results. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
سيوتو
شومان يعني
Bazaar.
Historically, humans lived a colorful and adventurous hunter-gatherer lifestyle. But what brought humans into the valleys and grasslands, and later into a collective society? Some argue wheat domesticated mankind, settling humans permanently next to their fields. Humans have come a long way from traditional farming. Presently, some 38% of the Earth's surface is used to cultivate crops. Technology has revolutionized agricultural production, leading to more food security worldwide.
Oh, hello there. Welcome to another edition of Bazaar. This time, we will explore the agriculture industry. We shine the spotlight on the marriage between technology and science for high-yield agricultural productions. We wanted to see how the agricultural sector is developing new ways to increase the efficiency of natural resource use while also elevating the quality of cultivated food. Well, let's not waste any time. Let's walk through the fields of today's bazaar.
Thank you.
Our quest for answers led us to a company in Khorasan Razavi province that specializes in livestock rearing and potato cultivation. Khozai is a family business handed down to four generations over the years. It has some 2,400 hectares of farmland where saffron, Mohammadi roses, potatoes and wheat are cultivated. This company has spent years perfecting a cultivation system using its own agrotechie, enabling it to enhance the performance of mini-tubers. So what is a mini-tuber? They are the first generation of nuclear miniature seed potatoes. These can be engineered to have disease-free characteristics and are bred to shorten field cycles, leading to high harvest yields of healthy potatoes. The beating heart of this company is its research and development department. This is where production actually begins. This company has several varieties of potatoes in vitro tissue culture form that are subject to rigorous disease testing. This ensures the company starts cultivation with the highest quality tissue cultures. After lab tests, the plant material is transferred to hydroponic greenhouses and later taken to the field for mass production. You might be wondering why some farmers choose hydroponic methods over others. It's a soilless system where roots are kept in a dark environment saturated with an aerosol of nutrient-rich solution. This way, cultivators can observe the entire plant structure and strictly control production phases. Plus, this high-tech method gives cultivators unique insight into specific plant characteristics that can assist with field production. As we mentioned earlier, this company also specializes in raising sheep and cows for meat and dairy production. It's interesting to know how potato production led to livestock rearing. The founder and director of the company shares his experience with us. After the mini tubes are raised in greenhouses, a portion of them is stored in refrigerated rooms for later use. Other storage facilities hold potato seeds and harvested products, which are later released into the market. It is no surprise that this company has received three consecutive national awards for being a top producer of livestock and agricultural products. Much of its success is attributed to a large amount of science and knowledge used for production. This company employs expert staff and researchers who also play a significant role in the company's dynamic progress. As part of its future vision, this company is eyeing expansion. It is already working on launching a botany clinic and other food-related laboratories. This company takes a great deal of pride in its socially responsible productions. It has spent decades trying to optimize its use of natural resources and make organic and nutritious products. The company we just mentioned is just one example of how the agricultural industry is expanding with the help of modern technology. Iran produces tons of agricultural products annually, which it also exports to destinations abroad. The food industry is also heavily dependent on this sector as it plays a critical role in the country's food security and national economy. Iran has a total area of 165 million hectares of land. Of this amount, 50 million hectares are arable farmlands. Moreover, some 21,000 hectares are dedicated to greenhouse farming. Iran's agriculture makes up around 8% of the national GDP. Plus, it employs one-fifth of the country's entire workforce. The country's agro-food products also accounted for around 20% of the country's non-oil exports in 2020. Data from Iran's Customs Administration shows that Iran exported over $800 million worth of agricultural products from April through May this year. Additionally, figures showed over 1.7 million tons of these products were sold to foreign markets during that period. Around half of the revenue generated from exports belonged to 10 major agricultural products. Championing the top of the export list were pistachios. This was followed by watermelon and tomatoes in terms of export value.
horticulture, aquaculture, and livestock products also raked in millions in foreign exchange. Industry analysts say there has been a relative decline in exports compared to the same two-month period last year. They say more attention should be given to marketing, better packaging, and transportation to boost agricultural exports. The Chamber of Commerce, Industries, Mines, and Agriculture also released a report examining the relative decline in agricultural products. The report showed a less than average rainfall coupled with misuse of natural resources in farming practices are two of the major culprits of reduced production. Mining is the process of extracting valuable materials from the Earth's crust. It is one of the oldest industries and dates back to prehistoric times when people first mined flint to make tools and weapons. However, mining has come a long way from its traditional methods to incorporate advanced material science and geology. Moreover, modern mining wouldn't be the same without its heavy-duty machines to extract and haul material for processing. On the whole, this sector is one of the largest and most productive industries the world has ever known.
We are going to take a look at Iran's mining industry while shining the spotlight on zinc dust production. We wanted to see how this stuff is made and where it's used. Plus, we will explore this sector's contributions to the national economy.
To better understand the most recent developments in the mining industry, we visited Zarin Rui Caspian. It is a subsidiary of the parent company Zarin Industrial Mining Group and specializes in making zinc dust. Products at this company come in the form of bluish-gray zinc powder or granules. These products are made with specific formulations depending on their end use. In short, these items are produced when purified zinc vapors are condensed. But this requires a large amount of processing, starting with melting zinc crucibles. Next, the molten zinc is transferred to a vaporizing furnace. The vapors are then sent to a condenser to form zinc dust by circulating the gas through a cyclone cooler. Most zinc dust production plants include a vertical crucible melting and vaporizing furnace and a condenser, which operate on a fluid and continuous basis. That's why this production company works around the clock without breaks. Now you might be wondering where zinc powder is used. Due to its unique characteristics, it is a sacrificing element that helps prevent corrosion. Meaning it works well in absorbing moisture and strengthening metal surfaces against oxidation. It is a perfect substance for coating industrial machines that withstand harsh climatic conditions.
So many processes are at work when it comes to mining. There is exploration, extraction, and refining of raw material, just to name a few. But activities don't end there. Usually, there are mega holding companies in the mining sector with several subsidiaries, such as the company we just mentioned. These subsidiaries are essential in expanding and completing mining-based products' supply chains.
An asset to corporations is their research and development departments. This is because they carry out activities leading to technological development. That is to say, they develop new services or products and improve existing ones while elevating the company's industrial standing. This department also performs critical quality control checks where standards are also implemented. And indeed, standards are everything, especially for foreign trade. One of this company's competitive advantages is its high purity products based on national and international needs. This company also purchases most of its raw materials from domestic suppliers. Among its services, it can formulate zinc powders based on special orders from customers. It also provides its customers flexible delivery, whether by sea, air, or ground. This producer has never stopped looking to the future.
It plans to increase its current market share and create new products that can be used in other down-the-line industries. This company has achieved many successes despite being relatively recently established. But that's not to say it has not faced many challenges along the way. One such challenge has been maintaining its machines, which sometimes require spare parts for repairs.